Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, August 8th, 2024, 1 John.
Francis, you just got in under the wire. And you missed out on all this fantastic music I pick out and play. But then, not to worry, 99% here miss out on that fantastic music I pick out. What's that? Well, okay, get out there and do some push-ups then. I wasn't going to say anything about those push-ups, but... Well, you're laughing. You get out there and do push-ups too. Okay. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5. Let's start at verse 7. And the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, keeps on being aletheia, absolute truth. Because there are three who give true testimony, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And the three witnesses are in agreement. Verse 9, if we accept the witness, the testimony of men, first class condition, and we do from time to time, the witness or testimony of God in the Word of God is infinitely greater, because this is the witness of God, God the Father, that he has testified concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father's testimony is infinitely greater than man's testimony. The Word of God is God's testimony. And if we listen to what people say and accept it, and from time to time we do, then we ought to listen to what God says and accept it. God is infinitely greater than man. God is perfect. Man is imperfect. God is veracity. Man is, God is veracity. God is infinite truth. God is not a man that he should lie. Rather, God levels with us with absolute truth. If you're living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, if you're growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you will accept the testimony of God that he has given us in his word. However, if you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you will not accept God's testimony in his word. And the principle is, arrogant people are unteachable. Sad to say today, but there are a lot of arrogant believers in the United States today, and they are unteachable. They will listen to anything that is false, but they will not accept the absolute truth, God's testimony, as given in his God-breathed scriptures. Verse 9 looks two ways. Verse 9 looks backward and it looks forward. The backward reference is the testimony of the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, in verses 7 and 8. The forward reference is the witness of God given in verses 11 and 12. But before we get to verses 11 and 12, we have a parenthesis. Verse 10 is actually a parenthesis where John draws a contrast between believing and not believing the testimony concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 10 in the first half says, the one who believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has this testimony, this witness in himself. The grace gospel is the testimony of God to the entire human race. When anyone, any place, anywhere believes in the testimony of God by faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he possesses eternal salvation. The person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ now has the witness in himself. 1 John 5:8 declares that there are three who give the true testimony of God, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. And that includes the inspiration ministry of the God-breathed scriptures. It includes the fact that he is the Spirit of Aletheia. He is the Spirit of absolute truth, a special title given to God the Holy Spirit in John 14:15-17, John 15:26, John 16:13-14. The Holy Spirit has this special title, the Spirit of Aletheia, the Spirit of absolute truth. It includes his common grace ministry to the unbeliever, where every time the gospel is given, God the Holy Spirit goes inside the soul of the unbeliever, turns on a light so that he can see the issue of the grace gospel and salvation. It includes his efficacious grace that takes the unbeliever's faith in Jesus Christ and makes it effective for eternal salvation. And then there is the water, and the water is the water of the Word, the grace gospel. And once again, putting the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of absolute truth and the inspiration of the grace gospel. And the blood puts the spotlight on the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union. His and his salvation work on the cross, his spiritual death, those 3 hours from 12 noon to 3 p.m., being imputed with the sins of the whole world, and then bearing the judgment on those sins once and for all. The one with positive volition to the testimony of God and faith in Jesus Christ has this witness now in himself, eternal salvation. So the one who believes in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has this testimony, this witness in himself. And then in the rest of verse 10, we have the blasphemy of rejecting God's testimony. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed in the testimony which God has testified concerning his Son. Anyone who rejects the grace gospel is simply calling God a liar. He has rejected the living and true God's testimony given through the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. The unbeliever who rejects the grace gospel is not only extremely arrogant, but he also blasphemes the living and true God. God is veracity, infinite and absolute truth. God is not a man that he should lie, Numbers 23:19. God cannot lie, Titus 1:2. It is impossible for God to lie, Hebrews 6:18. Therefore, by rejecting the grace gospel, the unbeliever blasphemes God by calling him a liar. God the Father's testimony concerning his Son is Operation Grace. It includes the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. It includes his salvation work on the cross. The Father's testimony is the grace gospel. The Father's testimony includes the three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Now that brings us to 1 John 5:11-12, where we have the testimony from God. 1 John 5:11, and this is the record. We have the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular feminine of the demonstrative pronoun houtos plus the present active indicative of the to-be verb eimi, and the nominative singular of marturia with the definite article. Now the conjunction chi, if it's a connective chi, I won't take the time to put it up here, but this is not a connective chi. K-A-I, chi. This is the emphatic use of chi, and it may be translated indeed, or verily, or really, or certainly, or in fact, and we're going to translate it in fact. And then we have the near demonstrative pronoun. The near demonstrative pronoun is houtos. H-O-U-T-O-S, houtos. And it's correctly translated this. And this refers to what follows, namely, the testimony from God. And then the to-be verb eimi, which is translated is, and then he marturia, marturia with the definite article. Looks like that in the Greek, M-A-R-T-U-R-I-A, marturia. And martyria is a written testimony or a deposition. This is God's written testimony given through the three witnesses, God, the Holy Spirit, and the inspiration ministry. All scripture is God-breathed. There is the testimony of God, the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. And the water of the word and the baptism of Christ and the blood of Christ is salvation work on the cross. In fact, this is the written testimony that God hath given to us eternal life. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the nominative singular of theos with the definite article plus the aorist active indicative of ditto me plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the accusative singular of zoe modified by the adjective ionios. Now, Arntgen Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 592. I know you'll want to go home and look that up. How many of you have an Arntgen Gingrich? You don't have to. The pastor teacher has to have it. You don't have to have it. Arntgen Gingrich on page 592 says that hati, when it's used after a preceding demonstrative pronoun, hutas, as it is in our verse, then you don't translate it because, you translate it that. And then we have ha theos, the God, that's God the Father. And then ditto me. D-I-D long O-M-I, ditto me. And ditto me is the verb that means to give. It means to give something to someone. And God the Father has given mankind this testimony, this written testimony. He has given us eternal life. Eternal life. And this life is where? In His Son. The key to eternal life and living with God forever is Jesus Christ. That's the key. And therefore, He's given Operation Grace, designed the plan of salvation. The Son said, yes, sir, I'll do it. And as a result of the work of Christ on the cross, God has made it possible for anyone, any place, anywhere to have eternal life. But it's only in His Son, Jesus Christ. If you're going to have eternal life, you have to place your faith in Jesus Christ and believe in Him. That's the only way. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you will not have eternal life. Oh, you will live forever in the lake of fire, but you will not live with a quality of life of being in heaven face to face with our living and true God. So God the Father has given mankind this written testimony. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Now, the aorist tense is a culminative aorist. If you want to emphasize the beginning of an action, that's an ingressive aorist. If you want to emphasize the culmination, that is a culminative aorist. If you want to look at the whole process from beginning to end, that's the constative aorist. And all of these are used in the Word of God, ingressive aorist, culminative aorist, constative aorist. But here we have the culminative aorist. In the culminative aorist, the stress is on the cessation of an act or a state. Now in Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation, it started with the eternal Son of God leaving heaven on that first Christmas. Incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. That was the beginning. That would be an ingressive. But then he came, took on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross. And while he was on that cross, all the sins of the world were poured out on him and judged in him once and for all. And that's the culmination at the end of the saving work, the salvation work of Christ on the cross. So, the culminative verist, the cessation or act of a state, God's plan of Operation Grace began with the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And then the Messiah went to a cross, and his salvation work on the cross was completed, making the gift of eternal life, now is available to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. The active voice, God the Father performs the action of the verb. God the Father is the author and designer of Operation Grace the Cross. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting this as an absolute truth from the God-breathed scriptures. And then we have the dative plural of the personal pronoun, ego. E-G long O, but it's dative plural. Dative plural, to us. To us. And this is the dative of indirect object, and that's very important. The indirect object introduces the one in whose interest and benefit something is given. For our interest and our benefit, what God the Father has given for our interest and our benefit is Zoe Ionios. Zoe, Z, long O, long E, Ionios, A, I, long O, N, I, O, S, Zoe Ionios, eternal life. And that is for our interest and benefit. Eternal life. It's a quality of life. A quality of life to live with God forever in heaven, forever and ever and ever. So the corrected translation. In fact, this is the written testimony that God, God the Father, as the designer of Operation Grace, the plan of salvation, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular feminine of the demonstrative pronoun once again, houtos, plus the nominative singular of Zoe with the definite article and the present active indicative of eimi, plus the prepositional phrase and plus the dative singular of huios with the definite article and the genitive singular of autos. This time, chi is a connective chi, and we translate it and. The demonstrative pronoun, once again, is presented, houtos, this, Zoe, life, eternal life, Amy is, and then the preposition en plus the dative of huios autos. Here's the preposition en, and then huios, H-U-I-O-S, autos, A-U-T-O-S, in His Son. In His Son. So one. The dative n plus here is n plus the dative of huios and autos. The dative case is the dative of sphere this time, not indirect object. Here's the dative of sphere in union with Jesus Christ, in union with Christ. Two, the dative of sphere emphasizes the baptism of the Spirit, current positional truth that occurs at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ. So in His Son means in union with Jesus Christ, the dative of sphere. And the dative of sphere emphasizes the baptism of the Holy Spirit and current positional truth that occurs at the moment of faith in Christ. Three, the church age believer then is unique. You are unique. Of course you knew that. You're unique. You have a double portion of eternal life, and you have a double portion of God's perfect righteousness. That makes you totally unique. Unique from any Old Testament believer. So the church age believer has a double portion of eternal life and a double portion of perfect righteousness. Four, the church age believer has the gift of eternal life and imputed righteousness from God the Father. The church age believer has the gift of eternal life and imputed righteousness from God the Father. And he shares the eternal life and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. We see the fact that we share the eternal life and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit in our verse. In our verse 11, in fact, this is the written testimony that God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life, and this life is where? In His Son, in union with Christ. So in our verse, we share the eternal life of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians, on our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians 5:21, which we just had yesterday. You remember that? He, God the Father, made the one who knew no sin, the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin. Judicial imputation of all the world's sins to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross as a substitute for us, substitutionary spiritual death of Christ on the cross, for the purpose that we might become the righteousness of God, where? In Him, in union with Jesus Christ, sharing the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through current positional truth. Didn't God work that out great? Yesterday we got sharing the righteousness of Jesus Christ in our class last night, being in union with Christ. Tonight we have sharing the eternal life, being in union with Christ. And God worked that out. I couldn't have worked that out in a million years. But God had that all set up. Thank you, Father. You're awesome. Sometimes you make me look like I even know what I'm doing. So there is the part that the church age believer has the gift of eternal life and imputed righteousness from that. That's from God the Father. But we share the eternal life and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and 1 John 5 verse 11. Now, where do we see the passages where we have the gift of eternal life and imputed righteousness from God the Father? Well, John 3:16, which you're very familiar with. If there's any verse of Scripture you know, it's John 3:16. For God loved the world, and that is impersonal love for all mankind. That's not an anthropopathism. That is God's impersonal love for all mankind. And how can he have that impersonal love for all mankind? Because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. That is not an anthropopathism. God loved the world with infinite impersonal love for all mankind. God loved the world so much that he gave his uniquely born son that whosoever believes in him should never perish but have eternal life. And then John 3:36, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And then John 20:31. But these things have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life, eternal life, in his name. Now, I want you to turn over to John 10. John 10. So you see, you should learn and know and metabolize the doctrine of virtue love. If you haven't gotten it from 1 John, you'll never get it. The expert on virtue love is the Apostle John, and he nailed it over and over and over again. God is virtue love. God is virtue love, infinite impersonal love for all mankind, infinite personal love that he manifests to anyone who has his righteousness. And anyone who believes in Christ has the righteousness of God. God loves you with infinite personal love. And he loves the world with infinite impersonal love for all. Jesus Christ loved the world with infinite impersonal love for all. That's why he went to the cross willingly and willingly took the sins of the world and willingly took the judgment for those sins, because he loved the world, the scum of the world, with infinite impersonal love. Why? Because he's absolute righteousness. That's why. And therefore he can have impersonal love for all. This is not an anthropopathism. Period. Over and out. If you haven't learned the doctrine of virtue love from 1 John, then get the hell out and stay out. John chapter 10, verse 22. Then came the feast of dedication. Now the Feast of Dedication, this was instituted in 165 B.C. by Judas Maccabeus in commemoration of the cleansing and reopening of the temple after its desecration by the Syrian ruler Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 B.C. It's also called the Feast of Lights, or Hanukkah, and the date falls near the winter solstice, which is December 22nd. So we have here, then came the Feast of Dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one in essence. The Godhead is three in personality, one in essence. So, the church age believer has the gift of eternal life and imputed righteousness from God the Father, and shares the eternal life and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. So the corrected translation of verse 11 is, in fact, this is the written testimony that God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Now verse 12. And in verse 12, God the Father's testimony gives mankind an option. Option number one, you can believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior. He that hath the Son hath life. We have the articular present active participle of echo plus the accusative singular of we, us, with the definite article plus the present active indicative of echo. So we have the verb echo used twice here. Once as a articular participle and the second time as a present indicative. Plus the accusative singular of zoe with the definite article. Echo is the verb to have and to hold or to possess. The articular participle is substantival, and that means it functions as a noun, and it is correctly translated as a noun, the one who has the Son. That's the articular participle of echo, the one who has the Son. The accusative singular of huios is the accusative direct object, the Son, and the Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. So our verb echo, first time, it's used as a substantival participle. It's a noun, the one who has the Son. The second time, it's a present active indicative, and you translate it, he has life, zoe, eternal life. So, the one who has the Son, the substantival participle of echo, has, the indicative of echo, has eternal life. That's option number one. Option number two, you can reject the grace gospel. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Once again, we have the articular present active participle of echo, but this time with the negative may. Plus the accusative singular of huios with the definite article, with the genitive singular of theos with the definite article, plus the present active indicative of echo, but this time echo is with the objective negative ouk, plus the accusative singular of zoe with the definite article. So in option number two, we have the articular present active participle of echo, but this time with the negative may. Once again, the articular participle is substantival. It functions as a noun. But this time it's with the negative me, and it's correctly translated, the one who does not have the Son of God. Ton huion tu theo, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who does not have the Son of God. And then in option number two, we once again have the present active indicative of echo, but this time with the objective negative, uk. He absolutely does not have eternal life. And Zoe is life, eternal life. So, corrected translation. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has life, eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. Very, very powerful. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. One, God the Father's plan of salvation, Operation Grace, gives mankind an option. The whole human race has an option. Two, through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you can have the gift of eternal life. You can share the eternal life of Jesus Christ being in union with him through the baptism of the Spirit. Through simple faith in Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. The gift of eternal life from God the Father, and sharing the eternal life of God the Son, Jesus Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit and current positional truth. Three, through rejection of the grace gospel, you absolutely do not have eternal life. Through rejection of the grace gospel, you absolutely do not have eternal life. Four, this is God the Father's testimony about his Son. This is God the Father's testimony about his Son. Five, according to the divine testimony, God has given us eternal life. And this gift is bestowed in his Son. This gift is bestowed in his Son. Six, since this gift is bestowed in his Son, its only possessor is the person who possesses the Son, faith in Jesus Christ. Because the one who has the Son, faith in Jesus Christ, has eternal life. Since this gift is bestowed in his Son, its only possessor is the person who possesses the Son, faith in Jesus Christ, because the one who has the Son, faith in Christ, has eternal life. Seven, but the one who does not have the Son rejects the grace gospel, does not have eternal life. But the one who does not have the Son, who rejects the grace gospel, does not have eternal life. 8. Jesus Christ, and He alone, is the repository for the gift of eternal life. Jesus Christ, and He alone, is the repository for the gift of eternal life. Nine, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, no one possesses eternal life. Apart from faith in Jesus Christ, no one possesses eternal life. So, 1 John 5:11 and 12. Corrected translation. In fact, this is the written testimony that God the Father, as the author of the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. The one who has the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has eternal life. The one who does not have the Son of God, he absolutely does not have eternal life. One. God in His infinite and matchless grace has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. God in His infinite and matchless grace has provided two categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Temporal security and eternal security. Temporal security and eternal security. Two, eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ through the gift of eternal life. Eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ through the gift of eternal life. The one who believes in Jesus Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can never, ever lose his salvation. This isn't that hard. Eternal life means eternal. That just galls me. God, when God gives you the gift, if it wasn't eternal life, He would have called it, for some of you, the gift of 5-second life. It's the gift of eternal life. Eternal means eternal. It means you can never lose it. It's yours forever and ever and ever and ever. It's eternal life. And yet, we have fundies out there, fundamental believers that have no doctrine. Of course, we got those in the so-called doctrinal crowd, and they are screwed up as the others. It's eternal life. And eternal life means eternal security. You have eternal security because you have the gift of eternal life. And you can never lose it. It's yours forever and ever and ever. No matter what you do. Whether you're a winner believer, loser believer, doesn't make any difference. You have the gift of eternal life. You're in union with Jesus Christ. You once you're in union with Christ, share His eternal life, you're never going to be out of union with Christ. That's forever status, forever and ever. You share the life of Christ because you're in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. So eternal security is established at the moment of salvation, faith in Jesus Christ through the gift of eternal life and sharing the eternal life of Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. The one who believes in Christ, faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, can never, ever lose his salvation. 3. Temporal security is also established at the moment of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ through the imputation of divine righteousness to the believer and the establishment of the grace pipeline. So temporal security is also established at the moment of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ through the imputation of divine righteousness and the establishment of the grace pipeline. So at that moment that anyone, any place, anywhere comes to the cross and believes in Jesus Christ, the justice of God impute to you the righteousness of God, establishing this grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline comes blessing. Instantly, at the moment of salvation, 40 salvation blessings. Instantly. And then every single day, from that day you believed in Christ, right up to today, down that grace pipeline has come temporal security, logistical grace, blessing, and support. That's temporal security that keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world. Why is God giving you that logistical grace, temporal security? To give you a chance to make good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. God has a plan, will, and purpose for all of us. But to give you the opportunity to fulfill His plan, will, and purpose for your life, He gives you temporal security, logistical grace, temporal security. Keeps you alive in the middle of the devil's world so that you can grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, so you can advance to spiritual maturity, so you can have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. God is virtue, love, and the ultimate objective for you is to have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. And when you fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life and attain spiritual maturity, now God can send down that grace pipeline, greater grace blessing, greater grace blessing for time, and greater grace blessing for eternity. This is temporal security. To give you a chance to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose in your life so He can send down there greater grace blessing for the winner believers. So temporal security is also established at the moment of salvation, faith in Christ, through the imputation of divine righteousness and the establishment of the grace pipeline. 4. In temporal security, the 40 salvation blessings at salvation and the logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the devil's world In temporal security, the 40 salvation blessings and the logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep you alive in the devil's world, they come to all believers. All believers. Winners or losers. It makes no difference. All believers. All believers receive the 40 salvation blessings. All believers receive logistical grace, blessing, and support, whether you're a winner or a loser. Temporal security. 5. The believer cannot work for, earn, or deserve either eternal security nor temporal security. The believer cannot work for, earn, nor deserve either eternal security nor temporal security. 6. God does all the work in temporal security. And 7, God does all the work in eternal security. So God, in His infinite and matchless grace, has provided 2 categories of security for the one who believes in Jesus Christ: temporal security and eternal security. Eternal security, the gift of eternal life imputed by God the Father to the one who believes in Christ, and sharing the eternal life of Jesus Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, being in union with Him. Eternal security. You will always be in union with the Son. You can never get out of that. And so you have that eternal security. And that is true for everyone who believes in Christ. Eternal security. But God has also given all of us temporal security. And that includes the 40 salvation blessings at the moment of faith in Christ. And then logistical grace, blessing, and support to all believers. The good, the bad, the ugly. The winner believer, the loser believer. So that you might make good decisions to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. And there are a lot of believers that make bad decisions, and they're losers. They make themselves loser believers. But God, every day, gives them logistical grace. Every day gives them logistical grace. More logistical grace. More logistical grace. And why does God do that? Because God is giving you, every one of you, every opportunity to come to your senses. Come to your senses and rebound. Get out of the cosmic system. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back into the filling of the Spirit. Get back into your spiritual life. And grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. That's why God gives the why does He keep giving the loser believer logistical grace? That somewhere along the line, that loser believer will say, enough is enough. I've gone through warning discipline, intensive discipline. I think I'm on the verge of dying discipline. Enough is enough. And you come to your senses and rebound. That starts there. Starts with rebound. And then just a couple of things. Positive volition and humility. Well, humility, that's the antithesis of arrogance. Arrogance is you know everything. You know more than God, more than the pastor, more than what's in the Bible. That's arrogance. But you come to 2 things, positive volition and humility. If you have that, then you'll have respect for God, respect for the Word of God, and respect for the faithful pastor who studies and teaches the Word of God. And if you're arrogant, you won't. If you have humility, you will. It's that simple. Well, there we go. I was just getting warmed up on fire for the Lord. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.